Well, hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our August 2014 Numerology Academy support call. And, we have a beautiful day today, of course, with, if you know from my forecast video, Venus and Jupiter are conjunct today in Leo. That's about as expansive and good as it gets in terms of feeling just a lot of joy and peace and beauty and prosperity and abundance. And in general, it's just one of those moments that you can savor. Happening in Leo, it is even more exciting in many ways. And what I love about it is that it continues or actually expands upon the full moon that we had earlier this month that was very really filled with much more tension because of the Saturn influence with the T-square. So that full moon was definitely one that affected a lot of people in a more serious way, you know, taking responsibility for things. And then today we have the number 18 again. This time it's not a degree number. It's actually the day, August 18th. And it's almost like things are coming to a close. This number 9 is the number of finalizations and endings and really, in a way, rebirthing the joy that our natural disposition is to feel that joy and that expansion and that beauty. So that is a really nice thing to have a call on a day like this. I do want to talk a little bit more about this number 9, actually, because we had a recent situation in the news with Robin Williams passing away, and that obviously was very shocking, including for me when I heard it. He just has that kind of effect on people where, you know, you don't really realize it until something like this happens, but he definitely touched people's hearts. One of my favorite movies is the one where what is it called, where he was the teacher. It was one of the first movies he ever made. Anyway, I loved that film, and there's just something about his heart that really touched us. Well, Robin Williams was 63 years old, which is a 9, and the personal day he had on August 11th, which is that gateway number, was a 27-9. So there was a lot of 9 energy around him, which is about endings. And if there was anything in his, chemical makeup in terms of him being depressed and using any kind of drug that could have interacted in some way, it would have felt very emotional to him. And, you know, with the 9 activation, with his year being 63, he had just recently turned 63 on July 21st, with that 9 personal day, you know, that would have precipitated things as well. Plus, as you all know, it happened literally moments after the full moon, which was the previous day. So that full moon was challenging. And there's a lot more that can be said about him and his situation, but I don't really want to go into that actually right now. I just wanted to mention you can always find some kind of thread numerologically with the code, the personal code, tying into the actual current code for a person, and to see what was going on. And I wrote much more about it in that newsletter. By the way, that movie I was alluding to, Dead Poets Society, one of my all-time favorite films ever. So I just wanted to mention Robin Williams because when somebody does appear in the news like this and their birth time is available, you can really spend some time with that chart, you know, numerologically and astrologically, and really delve into some of the deeper meanings of that person. And you can learn a lot that way as well. So let's move on, actually, because I do want to actually focus on a couple more items that are coming up. One is, and they're tied together, as usual, there's a numbers code that's being activated. So let's look at this, because we have a new moon on August 25th, and that number, 25-7, does activate 2014, which is a 7. So this is a very important new moon. There's going to be a lot of energy being asked of you to go within and meditate and retreat a little bit from the world during this new moon as you regroup and restart before September. Now, having said that, there is an opposition from Neptune, which spiritualizes this experience even more. So this new moon on August 25th is opposite Neptune, and Neptune is in Pisces, its home sign, and so it's going to be there for many, many years into the, I think until 2025 approximately. So it's going to be in its home sign a long time. But what it's doing is it's spiritualizing everything. You know, there's a lot more activity and openness to spiritual subjects because of this placement of Neptune. Now, it is opposing this new moon, so it will spiritualize things in your life. So if there's anything that's not congruent for you on a deeper level, you will be confronted with any delusions you may have or illusions you may have about either yourself or a situation during this new moon. So keep that in mind for you and your clients. On the other hand, if you are in balance, then this new moon really, really does take you very deeply somewhere that's you know, gets you in touch with your soul in a deep way, and the universal the whole feeling of being connected, interconnected with everything, will be very, very strong at that time. So the connection then that's made in September is to the full moon that happens on the 9th. And it actually happens on the 9th in Greenwich Mean Time, but it happens on the 8th in North America, South America. So for most of the world, it is the 9th. And because Greenwich Mean Time is the universal time, I'm going to look at that particular date. So on 9-9, September 9th, we have this full moon. And the way it ties in to the actual new moon on the 25th of August is that the full moon on the 9th of September happens on a 25 universal date. So 9-9-2014 adds up to 25. So watch what happens on the 25th of August, around that moment, and then see where it takes you during this full moon, because this full moon actually really has some beautiful, beautiful aspects that it forms, just stunning, beautiful, harmonious aspects to Saturn and Pluto. There's a real sacred geometry that's you know, triangular and resonates to certain triads in numerology that's activated at that time. So there's going to be some really wonderful insights that you will get in that two-week period, culminating on the 9th of September, which again is 9-9, which is one of the numbers of the day, the number 9 today. So pay attention to that. Pay attention to your deeper spiritual needs. See how they translate for you in terms of abundance. The reason I say that is August is a major abundance month universally because of the number 15 that it resonates to. So you really do want to pay attention to that side of things. Then again, September would be a 16-7 universal month. So the number 7 gets activated doubly for the year. 2014 is a 7 universal year. September is a 16-7 universal month. And then we have this 25-7 activated as well. So there's a 7, a 16, and a 25 activated between this two-week period. So just make note of it, you know, observe yourself. And it's something that I think will really affect us all over in a very deeply profound way. And it may not be readily apparent initially, because when you're dealing with these deeper issues, spiritual issues, the number 7 in general, it can be a learning experience that then evolves, right? So, and if you happen to have the number 7 prominent in your birth chart, in your numerology profile, in your code, then of course this period will be even more potent for you. Okay, so that's a glimpse at what's coming up. And of course, all of you in Future Forecast Formula, we're going to go much more in depth tomorrow during our call with some other astrology and numerology coming up to look at for all of you. I do have one question from Jen, and I want to prompt all of you now on the call to press *6 if you want to get in line to ask me questions during the call in person. Okay, so just press *6 to get in line, and we will get to you. Let me get to Jen's question here. She asks about a client of hers, and she mentions the birthday, so I'll tell all of you the birthday. It's 7/21/1956, which, by the way, Robin Williams was born 7/21 as well. So that's interesting that we have the same birthday being looked at here during the call. But 7/21/1956 is the birthday Jen gives for her client. She says that the life purpose is 11, which actually it is not. The life purpose is 31 for this birthday, and that's a 4. The day of birth, of course, is 21, and then Jen says the destiny number for this person is 13-4. Now, I don't know what the full number is. It's obviously higher than 13 and was reduced to 13. Since I don't have the name in front of me, I cannot double-check on that number, but the two numbers that she's going to be, that I'm going to be referring to regarding this particular client, are the numbers 21-3 and 31-4. So 3 and 4 are the root numbers. Okay, so Jen asks, she says, okay, she's in an 8-year, and next March, in 2015, she'll be in a 20 personal month. The reason is she's in a 17 personal year, which is 8, and so adding 3 for March, the third month of the year, to 17 is 20. So Jen is asking if that's a good month for her to launch her book. Now, I'm assuming this is a month that the client wanted. So let's look at that. A 20 month is obviously a 2, and she has a 4 life purpose, she or he. No, it is a she. Okay. A 4 life purpose. So yes. And she has a 4 destiny. So yes, 2, 4, 8 are in the same triad. So March 2015 would be a very good time to launch the book. If she's giving interviews, any kind of media, the number 2 does facilitate the one-on-one interview for that, which is good. So 20 is a 2. So that is a nice month for her. Another good month, just so you know, Jen, would be April, because it would be for her a 21 personal month. And she's born the 21st, and books are about writing and self-expression. 21 is a 3, so, you know, April would be a 21-3. It would resonate with one of her numbers completely. So that's another good month to choose, just so you have that on your, possible mentoring for this particular client of yours. So, and then you ask several questions about certain days, like which days should you choose for this client. And you're coming from the March month, so the personal month of March, which is 20, and you're asking about the 31st, the 24th, and the 17th. So the 31st of March is a 6 universal date, and for her, your client, it's also a 6 universal day. 31 is a 4, okay? So we got the 31st of March, which is a 4, which is a 6 universal date and a 6 personal day for your client. Those numbers are great. Obviously, 31-4 ties into her life purpose number, okay? That is her life purpose number, so that's really fabulous. And then her 6 personal day adds into the number 3. 3, 6, 9 are in the same triad. It's about self-expression. It's about nurturing. It's about love. You mentioned later in the email that this book is, she is a light bringer and her focus is on love. So that's a beautiful, beautiful day for her. Now, I just want to just give you a little tip here. Since 31 is good for her, that would also mean that 22 and 13 and 4 are good days, because they actually activate the same kind of code. Now, 31 is her actual life purpose, so it's beautiful, but you can also, depending on her schedule and her actual, launch ideas for March, offer her the other days as well, because they do tie in to the same code that I just talked about. The other day that you mentioned is the 24th, which is a 6 universal day, 2 plus 4 is 6. And so, and you say that that's a 17-8 date, and it's an 8 personal day for your client. Now, 8 is ties into her 2 4s, and so, and the 6, again, ties into her 3. So those are very good days as well, the 24th. Again, you can give her the 15th, and you can give her the 6th. Those would also work very well. And then the final date that you mentioned in March 2015 for the launch of this book is the 17th of March. Now, I wouldn't go necessarily with that one, and the reason is it adds up to a 10 personal day for her, and she doesn't have a 157 in her code. So if it was me, I would offer her the other dates that I mentioned. This one, I guess the only reason to bring it up is that the number one is about new beginnings. However, without any ones, fives, or sevens in her three important birth numbers, I would say that go with the other dates. They're just better for her. Okay, so then you also ask, when choosing a good day, do we take into account the extended number, meaning the composite number, so for example 17 or 36 or 31, or do we just take into account the root number? That's a very, very good question. The composite number really matters only when it ties into a composite number that the client has. For example, when I mentioned the number 21, because she is born the 21st, and that April was a 21 month for her, a personal month for her, that 21 obviously matters a great deal in that regard, okay, because you're triggering the actual compound number of 21. But other than that, it is the root numbers that you want to refer to, and it just makes life much easier when you're dealing with numbers 1 through 9, which are the single-digit root numbers. Okay, so you ask about the 4 and 8 karmic connection. Does that influence the date we choose? Well, yes. I mean, when you are a 4 or 8, which she is, she has a 4 life purpose and a 4 destiny. But in terms of the life purpose number, which is in her birthday, it definitely matters. In terms of that, yes, absolutely. It does make the experience much more intense. It triggers her code. Yes, it does also allow for destined events to appear that may feel karmic. But in terms of a launch, I would absolutely say that if you're a 4 or 8, that you can take advantage of that magnetic energy when you do, when you have an important launch date. Would I use it for something more personal, like a marriage or wedding, something like that? I would have to look at both people's numbers because, you know, there may be instances where I would not recommend that. I would say go with a 2-day for your marriage because it's in the 2-4-8 triad as opposed to a 4-8. Because 4 and 8 can bring, as you know, experiences that feel destined and karmic, and you wouldn't necessarily want that experience on your wedding day. So it's not to say you can't have it. It's because, yes, it's a very, very powerful, potent day for a person who has that connection. But, you know, it's not absolutely something that I would recommend if you have other choices. So, and of course, you'd want to look at the groom or bride's numbers as well, right? You need to do this for two people. Okay, so that was just a little bit of a tangent to explain, you know, when and how to use that 4 or 8 connection for selecting some good days. Now, you ask, if this client of mine is speaking about the book or sharing her gifts, which triad works for her? She has the 4, so 2-4-8 triad, and she has the 3, the 3-6-9 triad. The 3-6-9 triad is about emotional self-expression, so it's beautiful for speaking about the book. The book also ties into 3-6-9 because it is in a way of expressing yourself through language. So those would be probably my first choice for any speaking engagement. If you have a choice for your teleseminar or for your interview, sometimes obviously you don't, but in that case, if you do, yes, 469. 248 for somebody who is a double four, absolutely. Those are, like I said, days of great power and intensity, so you can use those as well. But my first choice in that regard would be 369, okay? You then ask a question about the number 11. It counts as a 2 for the root number, 1 plus 1 is 2, yet doesn't the double 11 influence the mind triad at all? The double 11 is a 2. It's not a 1, 5, or 7. So it's definitely not in the mind triad. However, it, like you say, it is made up of 2 1s. So what I have found with 11s in general, when you read 11s, is that they do have, they tend to think a lot. They do process through thought. But it's a very creative kind of thinking. It's not always an analyzing, though they can overanalyze just like 1-5-7s do. But they have a way of also turning their analyzation into creative outlets in a way that 1-5-7s may not necessarily naturally do. So they have this way of thinking things through and making them creative. So it's a very powerful master number that stands on its own. However, I would never put the 11-2 into the mind triad numerology for forecasting. So if we're looking at personal dates, it definitely does not belong in that triad. So I wouldn't use it for that, which is, I think, what you may have been asking, because your questions are all in line with, you know, choosing a date for your client to launch her book. Okay, so in terms of that, no, it's in the manifestation triad of 248. Okay, so that is Jen asking several questions about a client of hers. And if you're on the line, Jen, just let me know if you gave me the correct birthday, because you do mention the life purpose that is not one that I got for 7/21/1956. Okay, so just want to get that clear as well. Okay, so this is the time for all of you to speak up. If you're on the call and have a question for me, press *6 and we can talk to each other. Let me take the first caller here. This is area code 303. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi. Who is this?
Hi, this is Mary Bailey.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good, good. I have a couple quick questions.
Okay.
And So I just finished the first part of the numerology course, watched all of the prosperity system. I can't find anything on the wisdom number. Where do you find that?
Ah, nice question. Okay, so there is nothing on the wisdom number. It's just something that I give in the personal numerology blueprint, which I must have created for you. Right?
Yes.
So,
yes, you did.
that's how you know about it.
Okay.
So the way the wisdom number works is you add the root number for your destiny. And so what is your destiny number?
4. I'm a 4. I'm a 22-4 life purpose, 2 and 4. Destiny.
Okay, but
4.
What's your destiny number? That's your birth name.
Destiny was 4, but I can't remember. What's
okay.
The other part of our
book? Okay, so
sorry.
Your wisdom number is 8.
Yes, I'm a 44-8 is my
exactly.
Wisdom number.
Right. So the way that works is you just add the I said destiny number. You add the life purpose twice. So for you, because it's a actual master number, it turned out that your wisdom number is a two-digit number. Most people have just one-digit wisdom numbers. So what you do is you add the 22, and
okay.
You double it up.
Gotcha.
Okay?
That makes
and that's
sense.
For, like, a latter part of your life. So it becomes active later in life. It's not active until, I would say, after the Saturn return is when you really start feeling it. So in your 60s, 70s, 80s, that's when it really starts.
Okay, that would make tons of sense. And
okay,
then the second one is on the wealth numbers. I was just a little confused. Does everybody have the wealth numbers 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, or is that just
no? No, no, no. That would be specific to you. So no, no, no. I mean, Well, the wealth numbers that helps you create abundance are basically based on your birth code and then your certain points in your astrology birth chart.
Okay.
So that's what I teach in Prosperity Power, right?
Yeah, and I have 4 10 ones and 6 ones if you put them all together, and then the rest are 4s.
Right. So in your case, the number 1 is very, very important. So the way you would use that is you would choose personal dates for you, you know, that are or months that actually resonate to that number or some of your other wealth numbers. And what happens is when those dates coincide, for example, let's say one of your wealth numbers is 4 and the other is 1. So let's say the 4th of a certain month, the actual 4th, is a 1 personal day for you. So let's say November 4th of this year is a 1 personal day, just as an example. Then you have
okay.
2 of those numbers active. You have it active in the universal way, the universal day, and in your personal code. So that would be a very potent day for you, right? And it would be a day for you to schedule something that would incur attracting clients or selling a product or doing newsletter that, you know, invoke something that would bring in abundance for you. So,
okay. That makes a little bit more sense. So the wealth numbers, because, I'm sorry, I got a little confused there, but that makes sense for me. But for,
mm-hmm.
like, reading another client, say they are, I don't know, they have 3s and 7s.
3s and 7s. Okay.
So I guess the wealth numbers that I'm trying, are they always the manifesting numbers? No, that couldn't be.
What do you mean by manifesting numbers? I mean, the wealth numbers are. Pardon me?
The 2, 4, and 8 was what I was talking about.
No. No. Mm-mm. Well, the wealth code that you have that is specific to you, it doesn't have to be in any particular triad at all. It's the numbers that you're born with that are the ones that you resonate with most deeply. So if you have a client who has 7s and 3s prominently in their chart, then those numbers figure greatly for them when they want to create certain abundance days, you know, that they would launch things or create a product or whatever it is, start a business. So they would want to focus on days that trigger at least one of those numbers, right? So,
perfect.
And they vary
yep,
for
makes...
each person.
Okay, that makes tons more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Great.
Yeah,
thank
because
you.
there is such a thing as actual numbers that are congruent with creating wealth overall, you know. But they're not if they're not lining up with you personally, then they're not as powerful. So this is something that I'm going to be teaching next year, early next year, because of 2015 is actually triggering 2 of those numbers, and so my whole focus for next year is going to be teaching how to do that. So where you encompass the whole universal code and the whole personal code into when in the year and when in certain months, certain days, are there really highly lucrative days for me, you know, to do launches or live events or, you know, products or newsletter promotions, et cetera. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, thank you so much. That makes so much more sense.
Oh, good. I'm so happy, and I'm glad you're enjoying the program. It's a lot to digest, you know.
It is, but I absolutely love it. I mean, yeah, it's got
good.
It's got the fire in me.
Good. Wonderful. You're natural. That's great. When you start thinking numbers and letters, you're like, okay, that's my new language now. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's good. Fabulous, Mary. Well, thanks for your question. That was a good question.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's, again, press *6 if you want to ask me something in person. This is your chance every month to talk to me. Our next caller is also area code 303, which must be a nice place to live, wherever this is, 303.
Hi, Tanya. This is Rebecca.
Oh, hi, Rebecca. So,
and I live in Denver.
You're in Denver. Okay. So must be nice. Okay.
303.
Yeah.
My question is about when I'm going to be scheduling my free webinar.
Okay.
So I have done the interview with Angela Johnson. I have picked out three different dates in September for her to air them. And I'm looking at the 24th as far as my free webinar.
Okay, let me just get your
date.
Numbers out. Hold on.
10/26/1946.
Okay, there we go. 10/26. And so you're looking at, give me the day again that you're looking at.
September 24th, which I think is a 3 personal day. In a 6 personal month. Am I right with that?
Yes.
I'm in a
6 personal year.
Personal
month. Yep. Yeah, so, yep, that is true. Now, why would you choose that day? I'm just curious. What was your reason?
Well, new moon is always a good time for new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking at that, I guess it's 4th week in September, because it would be 2 to 3 weeks after the time that the interview would air.
Okay. The reason I asked about the code, because the code you're activating on that particular day is, I know the Libra new moon is the 23rd, 24th.
Yeah.
And I know your birthday would be coming up shortly after that, the following month. However, the 24th of September, like you said, activates in September the 6th. The 24th is a 3. And those are not important numbers in your birth code, right?
They're not.
You're 248 and 157. So,
yep.
I mean, I love the 6 month for you. I really do like that. But if I were you, since you already have the 6, I wouldn't activate the 6 again. What I would do is,
okay,
I would do it on the 23rd, but what day of the week is that?
That's on a Tuesday.
Oh,
and
perfect.
that would be a 29/11 2 day.
Mhm. Which I love. I mean, that's one of your numbers.
It is. Okay.
And the 23rd is Royal Star of the Lion in numerology.
Yep. Yep, it is.
It is. What time is the new moon? Do you know that day? Let me see. I have this. It's very early. It's at 6:15. Oh, it's the 24th, though. Okay, so for you,
yeah, 6:15
like
on the 24th.
All right, so it would be like 10 p.m. on the 23rd in Denver, right? Around 10?
Does this have to be exact?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's on the day. So in your neck of the woods, it's the 23rd. In L.A., it's the 23rd. So
right. That's
the day of the new moon. So for you,
okay, because this is universal time in my ephemeris.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's totally fine. And I love
so
that day for you for the 29th,
the 23rd.
For the 23-5. I mean, what's your destiny number?
It's
a 5.
Okay.
And so you're activating so much of your blueprint on that day, much more than on the 24th, you know?
Okay.
And it's a Tuesday. Which for marketing, believe me, Tuesday is fantastic. So I would use that.
I like Tuesdays as well. And that is probably the only Tuesday that month that I don't have anything else scheduled.
As far as
everybody schedules calls,
mm-hmm,
on Tuesdays. You know, I know this is not, but there's a lot of things going on Tuesdays. But,
yeah.
Okay, I will do that. I was trying to figure out, now the days that I chose for, that I gave 3 different dates to Angela to air it, because I don't know how many people I'm competing with and who's getting in there first.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose, just going in numerical order here, I chose September the 3rd, which is a 27/9 day for me. I chose, that's on a Wednesday. I chose Monday, the 8, which is a 3, is a 32-5, and then I was looking at Thursday the 11th, which is a 26-8.
Okay, that's for what exactly?
That's to air the interview.
Okay, I mean, you said Thursday the 11th? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's an 8-day? Okay, I like that one best for you. I know it's September 11th, but it for you personally, the 11 is nice because you are an 11.
Mm-hmm.
The 8 is nice because you're 26-8. What personal day is that for you?
It's a 26-8 personal day, I
it
think.
It is a 26-8. Yeah, that's what you are. So
yeah.
If I had a choice, I'd choose that one.
That's what I put first.
Okay.
Just because it's also my day off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but you know, I don't know what she's going to end up with or how that's going to work out. The only drawback is that it gives me less than 2 weeks before the webinar would be scheduled, and I have to do a lot of marketing in between.
Oh, okay. So she's marketing. She's announcing it to her list on that day.
That is. On the recording, we could give a free giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
My giveaway is the webinar.
Right. And so how would you be marketing to her people, though? How would that work?
Well, anybody that signs up when the interview is aired,
mm-hmm.
that's when people are going to know about it, and that's when I'm going to have to, you know, respond back. And, I mean, that's when they're going to link into the Abundant Astrologer /webinar, because that's when it's going to be advertised. And then that's when I'm also going to be pushing it out to my list. And I hope to, you know, like make some phone calls and do all that in between as well.
Okay, I know this isn't a topic for Numerology Academy, but just real quick, you can promote this to your list before the 11th. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until September 11th to promote it to your list, because your list is a whole separate entity from what's happening with Angela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're worried about the marketing window,
that helps.
It's much more, yeah, for sure.
That helps.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I want to stay in integrity, too, you know?
Yeah. But this is Astral Lines Mastermind stuff, but I'll just let you know, just do that, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Do the date.
Okay. We'll do.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. We have next a 905. Hello?
Hello. This is
Susan
calling.
Say again.
It's Andrea May calling.
Oh, hi, Andrea.
I'm good. Okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to the part about sacred geometry in level 2,
mm-hmm.
and I found out that I have a achievement triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to find out what your insight or interpretation for this would be for me personally.
Okay. Let me have a look where this is. I'm just pulling up your chart. Okay, so the achievement triangle, yes, I see it. Venus, Mars, and Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, second house, fifth house, eighth house. Well, first of all, achievement triangles give you a lot of drive, just so you know, okay? You're driven to do something with this energy. And for you, let me just look at your chart here briefly. I just need to get a bearing here. Your sun is all the way up conjunct your midheaven, and that's important. Let me see here. So your sun is in Taurus, and Venus rules your sun sign, and Venus is in this achievement triangle. So the most driven part of who you are is that Venus, actually, because it's the ruler of Taurus, and Taurus rules your midheaven. Your sun is conjunct your midheaven, so that's a huge, it's a very important sign for you and planet, Venus and Taurus. By the way, today you would really feel the beauty of Venus-Jupiter conjunct because of that. That's a really nice thing. So let me just tell you a little bit more about this, because Venus, in your case, is in the eighth house, and the eighth house is probably the most misunderstood house we have in astrology. And so to have Venus there is something you need to understand about yourself, right? Because it's such an important planet, as I said, for you. So the eighth house in general rules all the taboo subjects. So when Venus, the planet of beauty, is in that house, there's something about Venus rules everything to do with love and anything to do with partnership. So you actually, and you, I don't know anything about you or your life, but you will actually, you can actually meet someone who will definitely benefit you by being more abundant than you are. So having Venus in the eighth house does attract partners that have abundance, okay? That's okay. One thing. You love, when you love, it is very deep and it can be possessive and incredibly intense. So when you fall in love, you never take this lightly. Like, it's not a light thing for you. So, and intimacy is something that you really, it's really crucial for you to feel like you can trust somebody and feel comfortable with your partner before you can become sexually active. This house rules life and death and sexuality and money. So for you, that's why I mentioned abundance, and that's why I'm mentioning just feeling comfortable sexually. So you may struggle with trusting others, and you may find it difficult to show your true feelings to your partner initially, right? So you really want to know for sure how you feel about your partner. Now, having the achievement triangle here is... It connects to Mars. It's opposite Mars, Venus is. So you're going to have some conflicting feelings at times. Like you may attract a guy because your Mars is in Libra, your Venus is in Taurus. I mean, sorry, your Venus is in Aries, your Mars is in Libra. So you may attract a guy who is non-committal at times or, dealing with money issues in a certain way that you don't prefer, because Mars is in your second house. So whoever your guy is will absolutely have, a focus on money. So he'll either have it or have lost it or regained it or is wealthy or, looking to be wealthy, but money will be on his mind. And so you have a very interesting juxtaposition here of the Mars energy, which is obviously opposite Venus, and Venus dealing with partnership in the eighth house. So there's a complex energy regarding your partnerships. And the other thing I want you to really know with the other planet that's in this achievement triangle is that spiritualizing your life is critical for you in general. So having a spiritual outlet, having a spiritual sense of who you are, playing with that spirituality, being creative with it, is critical to you actually generating income. Because you can generate a lot of income. I mean, wealth is within your grasp in this lifetime, much more than it might be for other people because of the setup that you have in the second and eighth house with this achievement triangle. As long as you're clear on your intentions with, partnerships, but also as long as you're not living a life of illusion about who you are or who you want to be with, because of course the flip side of Neptune is illusion, delusion, dreaming, not being, in reality. So watch for that. And also finally I'll say to you, watch for partners who may not have the intention that you may think they have initially. So you want to just really cross your T's and dot your I's. You need to be, in order for that trust to really flow, back to you and from you to the partner, you need to really do your homework and make sure that they are who they say they are. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You there?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure that Andrea's on the other line. Okay. You're
okay.
Very passionate. This achievement triangle makes you incredibly passionate.
Okay.
But secretive. People may not see this. Okay,
yeah.
You are passionate, but it's like hidden. Okay, You don't show it. So you know how passionate you are. You know how intense you are. But and you may just have the strongest feelings about things, but people would not know. I mean, you hide it very well. So on the flip side is you can't tolerate when people are superficial. It's like you're allergic to that.
It's so true. Like,
yeah.
I see right through them, and I just can't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't tolerate it.
Totally. You're allergic to superficiality, and there's a lot of it out there, as you know. So, and one thing I also want to tell you, you can attract people into your life who are wounded in some way, or you're drawn to people who are in pain. So just be aware of that, because you connect emotionally on such a sensitive, deep level with people. And you want to be careful to not confuse love with feeling sorry for someone. You just really have to be aware of that, because you do have a lot of compassion, but it can be mixed up when it comes to love situations. So you just have to know you are a natural intuitive. You feel other people's pain, but you're not somebody who needs to then go out and remove that pain, you know, because then it gets very complex. If that's in a love relationship, it's a hard lesson to learn, you know. So then what that would bring up, just so you know, if you were in that situation or have experienced it, it brings up feeling victimized, you know. So you don't really want to sacrifice your feelings for others in that way. The emotional depth that you feel is really incredible. The spirituality that's part of who you are naturally is, you know, basically saying, Andrea, if you don't feel passionate, completely passionate about what you're doing, then you're not going to be happy and you will not attract abundance, because you will feel incomplete. Like, you will actually feel your life is superficial if you are not engaged in that deep, deep way, right? So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I got into numerology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see numerology being such a wonderful outlet for you, actually. Your 12th house is ruled by Cancer, and when you look at your third house, it has the moon in there, which is the planetary ruler of the sign of Cancer. It's got Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter all in your third house.
Yeah.
So you want to really be able to communicate somehow online your gifts, like have a website and start connecting, start networking, and, you know, sharing your talents. So you have a wonderful setup to have an online business, very
right.
powerful setup here
mm-hmm.
with that third house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah.
Well, with the Saturn in the third house, can that block communication?
No, what it does, I mean, it occasionally, yes, it can. But really what it's supposed to do is make your communication responsible and make it so that it feels grounded and strong and not superficial. Because
okay.
that's what Saturn's all about, is telling the truth, you know, and not mincing words when you really need to help somebody, and just saying, look, this is how it is. The thing is, you've got Moon conjunct your Saturn. That's a very, very powerful conjunction that you have there in the third house. And so that Moon is going to emotionalize everything you do and sensitize everything you do. So it's a beautiful combination for imparting both the truth, but doing it in a way that is compassionate. So it's a natural, it's a beautiful psychic yet mentorship combo in that third
okay.
house that you
okay.
have. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see the numbers line up in the astrology chart.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. It's wonderful. There's so much more, obviously, you can spiral with just looking. I mean, I'm just looking and seeing
so
much more.
Every time I go back and look, I'm like, oh, I didn't see that there before.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yep.
How come I couldn't see it? It was like, you know, the veil's been lifted every time you go back and look.
That's exactly right. You answered your own question. The veil gets lifted for the moment that you're looking.
Yeah.
What is it you're searching for? What is it you need to know right then? And so the veil's lifted for that moment.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of like, you know, you a new level each time. You know, like
mm-hmm.
when you play a video game and you reach the new level and the new stuff comes up.
Okay, you just told me that you're a young one because I don't do video games. But yes, it must feel like that.
Well, I always just envision this like Super Mario kind of world, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're doing the same thing over and over again with trying to overcome a challenge. And when you finally do,
mm-hmm.
you reach the next level, and then it's a new veil that gets lifted, and then you have a whole new level of whatever it is that level is about. So.
Yes. No, that's totally, it's a great analogy. I don't do Super Mario, but I get it. And that's, it is. It is a new level. It's almost not even so much new because you're just rediscovering something. So it's just going deeper and deeper into your code.
Yeah.
And soon you're so aware of your code that when you start reading the future forecast formula stuff, the progressions, transits, and solar arcs, you're able to connect on that level. And that's when it gets really exciting, right? Because you're taking something that's out there now or out there in your forecast, and you're applying it to your actual spiritual DNA code. And
Okay. I was also wondering, because I don't have any fours or eights in my numerology code, but I do have them. I do have a couple of them on the astrology chart.
Mm-hmm.
Would that indicate any karmic or destined kind of feeling or?
It can, yes, absolutely, because you're still dealing with numbers and the codes. So yes, I see your four with Jupiter, which is opposite your midheaven. That's powerful, and it's in Scorpio. So that four means that since it's opposite your midheaven of career, vocational life, the four Jupiter expands everything it touches, would show me that you would work hard, you know, when it comes to your actual career, that's natural for you. And the four itself gives you a lot of stability and organization, which is good. You do need that. So especially since you have a 14 degrees Taurus, right, and you are born on the 5th, and you have a 3, and you've got all these numbers that can get easily distracted, you know, 3s and 5s and 14, 5, sun and all that, having the 4 there is basically there to balance you out and
right,
to
like
bring
an anchor.
In – to bring in stability there. You also have a 20 ascendant. That's lovely. That also is in that stability, you know, environment, 248. And then, of course, you have a beautiful 26-8 for Neptune, which I love because Neptune is naturally more dreamy, and this stabilizes that energy for you, which is very good. So, you do have... You don't have it in terms of 4 and 8 days and universal dates and all of this stuff. You don't have to pay attention to that because it's not in your birthday.
Yeah.
But, yes, you do have the – here's where it comes into play. Once you start doing the forecasting, you can pay attention to those numbers more because as they get triggered by 4s and 8s in progressions, transits, solar arcs, you can really look at that and look at the year that it's happening or the moment it's happening and see, okay, did I meet somebody who really helped me with, you know, my destiny, or is there something that happened to me in general that really was felt destined, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you would use it.
Okay. Because I do notice that, like, for instance, my personal 8 year this year,
mm-hmm.
and the cusp degree for the fifth house is at 17-8.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this house is very, well, not only is it the 26 for the degrees for planet Neptune, but it feels very activated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The other,
it's very activated. Yeah, you triggered a specific number in your chart on the cusp of your fifth house. So the fifth
yeah.
house for you is absolutely activated, for sure. Everything in that fifth house needs to be looked at, especially since the 26-8 Neptune in that fifth house is also an 8. So,
yeah.
you know, which is, again, that code. And then your 2-8 houses. You have, by the way, two. You have the fifth and you have the 11th. So
yeah.
it's not just the fifth. But then you have your ninth house and third house, which are, you know, 8. You want to look at those. That's the root number of your personal year right now. So, especially the third house, which is, you know, your most active house planetary-wise. So, yeah, there's a lot going on for you. Obviously, a 17-8 personal year is big for anyone. I mean, anytime it happens. So, coupled with your chart and starting to read how it would affect you would be very, very important for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All very fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there time for another question, or do you have another call?
Yeah, you can do one more. We have fewer people on the call today because of summer vacation ending, I think. So, yeah, you can do one
yeah.
more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that you talked about the personal wealth formula previously with another caller, but I wanted to get more clarity on that because
mm-hmm.
I was also reviewing Prosperity Power.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was working with a client and so I figure out all their personal wealth formula numbers,
mm-hmm.
those numbers, I would use that to find their, like, if they had a launch day or a special occasion or day
mm-hmm.
that they would like to plan for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would try and use those numbers to activate their formula. Would I use these numbers for anything else, such as like book titles or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, book titles, no, not necessarily. That's when you're getting into current names. But book launches, yes. A book title, you're dealing with the ancient Chaldean calculator. And so, no, they don't apply to that.
Okay.
That's just fortunate or not fortunate stuff. But in terms of dates, yes. And also, like I just showed you with your personal year, and obviously you noticed it yourself, you want to look at it for forecasting. So if you're getting really, if you have like a VIP client or a client who's, you know, asking you a very specific question, you get deeply into their forecasting as well, not just their birth chart, you can actually look at it that way as well.
Okay.
And so that takes a little bit of time, but the first way and the most basic way and simple, straightforward, quick way to use it is the personal days and months. And just remember what I told the first caller is that when we do really highly potent days, we can tie in the universal numbers with the personal numbers so that there's more being triggered, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make it more clear because, it got confusing at some point because it's like, oh, we're talking about fortunate numbers, and then now we're talking about personal wealth numbers, and it's like, oh.
Yes, for sure it gets complex, but there is your personal code that is unique to you that has nothing to do with fortunate numbers at all. In fact,
right.
your personal code, birth code, is neither fortunate or challenging. It just isn't. It's neutral. It
yeah.
is your code. But when it comes to fortunate names, there's a whole nother, you know, that's like something completely different.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
we have fortunate numbers that are specific for wealth, which is something I will be teaching. That, again, is just another branch of numerology. So there are different branches here we're talking about,
yeah.
the very personal one unique to you, and then there are others that are more all-encompassing that we can also take advantage of. Just like a universal forecast for my monthly videos is for everyone. So you can take advantage of that energy, you know. So there's different layers here.
Okay. Because I also didn't, I was like, oh, so do we do that for our prices? But then I know that you said in the video the best numbers for prices were like 6, 8, 9.
Yeah, those are the best price points, but it, not always. There are exceptions to that rule when you tie it into your personal code.
Right.
So, again,
so
that is
search,
that.
So would I look at a person's personal code, and then if I find that that number is also happens to be a fortunate number, would I choose that purposely for that person?
Yes, absolutely, for sure.
Okay.
And again, you know, that is coming up in my wealth webinar, which I'll be
right.
doing for 2015. So I will be actually going into how you do that in more
okay.
detail. But yeah, you pretty much have the basics here for helping your clients with their wealth code, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Well, we covered a lot, and welcome
yes,
to the call.
Yes, did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good. Okay, well, I hope to talk to you again, Andrea, because I know you're very active on Facebook, and I love that. That's great.
Oh, thank you. All right. Okay, I'll see you on Facebook and maybe tomorrow for Future Forecast.
Yes, Future Forecast Formula. Yes, see you then.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Okay, we have error code 918. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. This is Kwanzaa.
Hi, Kwanzaa. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying the webinars and enjoying seeing how the numbers are working in my code. It's a lot of fun.
Yay, it is. Good. So how can I help you today?
Well, last time I spoke to you, I was asking about fortunate names, and I want to know what is your opinion of using hyphenated last names to make a fortunate name, and if you're, you know, it's, you know, depending on what you your viewpoint is on it, when calculating it, should it be calculated as two separate names?
Yes. Anytime there's a hyphen, or if it's like, you know, McDonald's or O'Henry, where there's an apostrophe, it's two names.
Okay.
So hyphen or apostrophe always makes it two names. And what do I think about them? Well, it depends on the situation. If the person naturally trains everybody to use the hyphenated version, then absolutely it works fine. If they don't, and some people just use one of the names, then it's not. Then they either need to be shown the new version, like every time, so that it's ingrained after a while, or they just shouldn't be using that version because they're activating two frequencies, which is not recommended.
Right.
So it just depends on the situation, you know.
Yeah.
You
well,
have
I was,
to literally
you know,
ask
last
your
time I was kind of trying to figure out what would be a good fortunate name for me to get away from my 28101 name, and I was looking through a lot of the names, and I figured, wow, I could actually put my maiden name with my current last name, and if I did that hyphenated, then it would actually make a fortunate name. And
what is your middle name?
Oh,
your,
not my middle name, my maiden name.
What's your maiden name?
Oh, it's spelled M-Y-R-I-E, Myrie.
M-Y-R-I-E. R-I-E, okay, right. Okay, so you would be adding that to the 28, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, it's 4, Kwanzaa, 22, yes, 26, Johnson. Yes, that would make a very fortunate 32-5. Can you train people to use it? That's the big question.
I think so. I mean, I was really, I don't usually say my last name to people or people don't usually use my last name. I mean, like, informally, you know, but, I was thinking if I use that career-wise or for business, then I would, and then, you know, with my bank accounts and signature, like, I would be using it more frequently and other people would be using it more frequently. You know what I mean?
If you put it in all those places you just mentioned, bank account, credit card, website, emails, anytime you use your full name, right? Anywhere you use your full name, you sign it that way, you pronounce it that way, you write it that way, others will catch on. So the people who've known you forever may still introduce you occasionally as Kwanzaa Johnson, and then you just gently correct them and say, oh, I added the Myrie, so it's actually, you know, Kwanzaa Myrie Johnson. But in that case, you would be activating the 32-5 for sure.
And then I
but you do have to embrace it across the board. You know,
right.
You do. So.
Yeah, and then I was noticing that it would be like kind of, I guess, a reflection of my life path, because my life path is a 23-5. So I don't know if that would, I just thought
it doesn't actually matter that it reflects your life path, because they're two different branches of numerology. What matters is that it's highly, highly fortunate. So if it was a 24-6 name, it would be just as fortunate as 32-5. Do you see what I'm saying? So,
right. Okay.
But, yeah, I really love, if you can embrace that, absolutely. That's what I would go with. Because I know on Facebook you were wondering, I think there's a long thread, right? With your
name. I didn't intend for it to be there.
Yeah, there's a long thread for Kwanzaa's name. So if you can embrace this, and because one of the things that's going on is you're feeling caught between a rock and a hard place. What do I do? What do I do? And that is affecting you as well. So once you make this decision and move forward, there's going to be such a sense of relief and clarity, and you can just, you know, live your life again and know that the frequency is supportive of you. But once you have this information, which you now do, about your name being 28, you're going to want to really find something quick now. So
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, okay. That's good information. It's good to know. I mean, I have some other options, too, but I just wanted to know what that, you know, about the hyphenated last name. Can I ask you another question? I have no planets in my second house, and I have so many numbers in my astronumerology cross-reference and integration code, and I'm just trying to figure out which ones I should focus on to create wealth and abundance. Because when I went through and started listing everything that was, like, repeating, I was just like, okay, this is too much.
Well, you've got eights here. You got the moon at eight, Venus at eight. Your ascendant is Taurus, so Venus is huge for you, obviously. So that number eight is very, very important for you. Your ascendant also is 9 degrees, right? So that's a very important number. So you got 7, 8, 9. I can see the code. Your midheaven's 25-7. Your ascendant is 9. Then you've got moon at 8, Venus at 8. So you got Saturn at 26-8. The 8 repeats a lot for you.
And I'm trying to figure out what does that mean, because I'm like, when you say eights and nines, I remember one time you mentioned something about, like, their spouses, and I'm like, my husband's numbers are, like, 899. So I'm like, is this just him, or is there other stuff going on, too? I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'd really like to do my own career thing, and I really want to start my own business. I'm like, I'd see him in there, but I'd really like to do something else, too.
Okay, so you don't have your own business? Are you working for somebody else right now?
No, I actually am trying to start it, and I'm just kind of having some blocks right now. And I don't know if my fortunate name, my unfortunate name has been a block, or if it's just been a whole lot on with my...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Your question?
So.
Yes. Your fortunate name, or unfortunate name in this case, is absolutely forming a whole blanket of environmental effects, just in general, over your life. So that's the first thing. That's why I told you before, you need to get that resolved. It's like a cloud hanging over your head.
It is. Because even when I tried to start a business back in the spring, I was like, okay, how should I refer to myself? How should I, how should I tell people to address me? And it was just really a big ball of confusion. I actually broke down and cried. I was like, oh, my God, this is so frustrating.
Yeah, it's just causing a lot of backup energy, and things need to flow again for you. Once they flow, like once that name is resolved, which I would do ASAP, all this other stuff will fall into place. Okay, so just know that the name is number one on your agenda, and then you'll have the clarity of mind, clarity of purpose, and you'll have the strong feelings again that make sense, that aren't confusing, that aren't backing up, you know, that feel like you're being supported. And you don't have to turn to your husband and wonder about this or that. You basically turn to yourself and know, this is what I want to do. That's number one. Number two, your second house is ruled by Gemini, 9 degrees. Your ascendant is 9 degrees. That means that your eighth house is 9 degrees and your seventh house is 9 degrees. Your husband, you said, is 9 and 8. 9 is one of the important numbers in your blueprint. You're born at 11:37. That's 12:3. Let me just look at where Mercury is. Mercury,
there's a lot of
and
threes in there, too.
Jupiter. Yeah. Mercury is conjunct your midheaven. So the ruler of your second house is conjunct your midheaven. That means you make money through work. You've got to figure out your career.
Yes.
And one-on-one is very good for you because of the number 2 degrees with Mercury. So look at that number 2. Numerology, it means like coaching others, having clients, right? Communicating one-on-one. Your sun's at 1 degrees conjunct your Mercury right there on your midheaven. So you definitely want to be in the spotlight. You don't want to be second fiddle. You want to be out there promoting yourself. It's at 1 degrees. That's hey, I'm number one. So, and it's the sun, which is, hey, I'm number one. So, you know, it's like, get me out front and let me be the brand of my business. That's really what you need to be doing. You'll feel much more fulfilled that way. Okay, so you're very young. You're just getting started. So I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, where you are at right now with your life and your career, because it really does take time. And, you know, the name is the number one thing I would focus on, and then just take it step by step. You'll know very quickly when that frequency changes for you, things will line up. You'll have opportunities come to you. You will get the message pretty quickly about where to go. So that's the first thing I would do. Okay?
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I don't know where to start. And then, you know, with my birth numbers being 456, I'm just like, okay, so where should I go? Which direction? And
well, the name has nothing to
do
with your birth numbers. Yeah, you don't need to. Your name the name is just a choice you make, that you just have to make. And so sometimes decisions are hard for you because you're 23-5 life purpose, and so you can't decide. You have all these choices, and making a decision is like, no, I don't want to. Take me away. But, yes, you have the 4, 5, 6. You have each triad activated. So you do have a lot of opportunity in many different areas. You just have to now say, okay, I'm moving in this direction. I'm using this name. And don't ever feel like making a decision is going to set your life in stone in that direction. Decisions are made, and then they're often broken because we don't know how we're going to feel once we decide. But not making the decision is the worst, and that's where you're right now. You're stuck. So decide on a name and then move forward, and then if you feel, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll adjust this a bit, then make the adjustment, okay? So.
Okay, and I have another question for you. I'm sorry, this will be my last one.
Mm-hmm.
Since I do want to make money through work, like you were saying, and I was wondering, you know, for a home-based business,
mm-hmm.
would a 1 or a 6 be best?
For you, a 6, because your destiny is 6.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So your destiny rules your career, so 6 is wonderful. You're asking me between 1 and 6, I definitely would go with 6.
Yeah, because I just moved into a 1 house, and I've been debating, should I change it, put a number on the back of the door and make it a 6 house, or should I leave it a 1, and I'm just going.
Put it in the back of your office. Do you have an office?
Yes.
Just put the 5, the number 5, inside
mm-hmm.
your office door.
Oh, great.
And that'll turn your office into a 6 frequency. Right, and then just imagine the space that your office is in is a 6, because you have a beautiful 9615 6 destiny, and you want to activate that. And as it happens, 5 is one of your core numbers anyway. So
yes, thank you.
That's
thank
what
you.
I would do.
Very helpful.
Mhm. You're welcome. Alrighty, you are on you're set to go, right?
I believe so. So the main numbers I need to focus on.
Ready, set, go. Make the decision, okay?
Make a decision on my name. And then as far as
yes.
wealth building, focus on my 8, 9, la, la, la.
Yeah,
the
you
eight
got
and
all
nine,
the info.
And I guess I'll just listen to it again because I'm just like, there's so many numbers.
You'll listen again, but definitely the name. Do
definitely.
That, okay? It's
okay.
really going to help you with all these other things.
Awesome. Thank you
okay.
so much, Tanya.
You're welcome, Quanta. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And then we have, let's see, Anonymous. Hello.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, this is Beata. We talked.
Hi.
Yeah, I found out, like, I got the birth, like we talked with in our little, our appointment. Yeah, we were trying to work out my birth time. And I got the second rectification. They told me it's 6 a.m., so maybe it's 6 a.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, yeah.
Oh, yes. So that's what I was thinking, right, when I did your...
You said 6 a.m. to 6.05 a.m. because you saw that, and then we ran out of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I can't remember what I said, but
yeah.
I remember thinking it was, oh, I'm so happy that was... That we well now it's three people basically.
That's two people said 6 a.m. Two.
Okay.
Yeah. So probably it's 6 a.m. if they said.
Yay! And that's the astronomy reading I gave to you, right? Was for 6 a.m. Everything
yes.
was set
yes,
for that.
Yes,
good.
Uh-huh,
oh, I'm
uh-huh.
so happy. Thank you for sharing that because I remember
yeah.
that was really. Quite a, I don't know how much time we spent on that, but I remember
yeah.
thinking, God, let me see if I can do this for you. And
I
remember looking at your progressed moon. That's one of the,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the areas. Well,
mm-hmm.
thank you. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that, Beata.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy for you that you've gotten confirmation now, because that's
yeah.
a big difference for your house.
Yeah, it does. It does. There's another thing I wanted to ask you, like, just quickly. Two things, actually. You know with the names, if you say you've got names from other countries, like in Brazil, you have little squiggles on the names, like A with a, and you pronounce
mm-hmm.
it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
mm-hmm.
still, would it still be an A if it has a squiggle?
Yeah,
or, yeah.
Any umlaut, you know,
yeah.
what do you call those, double dot, little circles that the Scandinavians have, squiggle
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that the
mm-hmm.
Spaniards have. Yeah, those are all, they do not change the A or the E, U, I, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They stay
okay.
the same. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good because sometimes I get names. People want to ask me names from Brazil, and I'm thinking, okay, and they have some sort of squiggle in it, and I'm not sure exactly, you know. But anyway,
yeah.
okay. So yeah, okay. That helps me. And also, just on a personal question, I have a 3-degree midheaven. Does that mean like the career is like about expression or?
Oh yeah.
How,
you have a 3-degree midheaven, which is absolutely, and look at your ascendant, it's 5.
Yeah.
5 and 3. So 5 and 3 are the numbers of communication. And
uh-huh.
so the 3 midheaven absolutely would say that you would want to write, communicate,
uh-huh.
create videos, or have a blog, send out newsletters, speak.
Uh-huh.
Anything
uh-huh.
to do with self-expression of your feelings and thoughts would enhance your career tremendously, absolutely.
Oh.
Being on stage, you know, everything to do with performance. So think of
mm-hmm.
music, art, all
mm-hmm.
of that. So also in your career environment, you want to surround yourself by beauty because this number 3
mm-hmm.
rules that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And then having like 1-degree sun,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of more leadership?
Yes. It's
okay.
very, very much related to original thought, self-starting, doing something that's unique to you. So, I mean, just the fact that you would be doing numerology, astrology is very unique in itself.
Uh-huh.
But then you would take your, you would do your own version of it. You would take
mm-hmm.
it somewhere that only Beata does, you know.
Mm.
So maybe it's that you're in a part of the world where astronomy has not taken
mm-hmm.
off, and you're going to be the actual pioneer in
mm-hmm.
that area, you know, that
oh,
would be
okay.
one way, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm assuming you speak other languages that...
English is the best, but I'm learning, yeah. and I speak another language too, but like, yeah.
Yeah, but you are in a part of the world where even if you only speak English, you would reach people that others
mm-hmm.
wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
mm-hmm.
So, and it's not only that. It basically means the way you approach life in general is unique, and you
mm-hmm.
you don't necessarily follow a certain set of rules. You make sure that they apply to your sense of harmony and balance in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that because you're in Libra, and Libra is all about balancing. So,
oh, okay.
you know, you really – So, and also, yes, it's about leadership. So taking something, not working for anybody, but being your own boss,
mm-hmm,
basically,
mm-hmm,
is the only way that you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't work for somebody else.
So okay.
It'd be hard for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one more thing, sorry. You know, the second house starts at 13 degrees. It's the of values. That's kind of like, for me, I was looking at that, and does that mean that there's going to be a lot of changes in what I value in my income or things like that?
Mm-mm. No, the 13 actually is a 4. So the 4 indicates that it's a steady build-up of your business, and the 13 indicates is that you're here to make money through transformation. So when you help to transform others, because it's in Scorpio, which is the ultimate transformation sign, so it's really taking people to very deep areas, taboo areas, you could say, and by doing so, that's how your income will go up. So if you're not afraid to go there, then you will make good income. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying everything.
You're welcome. And I'm so glad about your chart. That's wonderful. And that's why you're asking me all these house questions.
Yes, because I just wanted to ask, just confirm what I thought I was right, and I just wanted to confirm what you,
wonderful.
You explained more things.
Yes, you are now on a whole new journey. So.
Okay.
Good.
Okay,
all right, it's good to touch base. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was another fantastic call that we all had today in August. So I look forward to speaking to all of you again in September. I have a big announcement that I'm making next week. You want to stay in tune with your newsletter because it's very, very, very exciting. And the newsletter I send out, of course, is what I'm talking about. And then meanwhile, just remember, September, it's the ninth month of the year. We always feel everything doubled up in September. The personal year that you're experiencing right now and the universal year are doubled up. So that's why we have the financial calendar start in September. Often schools and colleges, universities begin then. It's a very big month. So just keep that in mind if things get intense. And enjoy the next month. I will speak to you again on the 22nd, I believe. So that's right when we're having an exciting new moon event right before that. So we'll look into that as well. So enjoy and have a wonderful, wonderful month, all of you. We'll speak soon. And I'll see you on Facebook in the meantime. All right. Bye-bye.